Hello, Knights of the World Table, and thank you for listening. In this episode, the team has just returned from defeating Lord Valpurgis and rescuing Branch's former goblin tribe, and has been reunited with Tiburon, who has instead visited his home. If you didn't listen to that episode, listen, it was a lot of fun. Hope you're all doing well out there. We are turning the corner towards the end of this season, which I know has been a long one, but a lot of fun. And remember, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and make life an adventure. Coming on back from the Feralwood, land of the goblins, and a fancy party. Y'all come on back out of the portal, and all of you get there, and Tiburon is with you, who wasn't with you during your little portal adventure, and you kind of tumble out into the portal room. Bartleby is not there. It's just the five of you.
Oh, seemed like a bit rougher of a ride than usual. Oh, Tiburon, my boy, where were you this whole time?
Wait, you missed quite a bit.
We were in the middle of something, and then I went. What did y'all get up to?
Well, we had quite the little adventure, actually, but
I won a drinking competition. That's all you need to know. It was glorious, and just know that I won.
We saved my people's god, and they know I'm not dead now, and it was I did embarrassing things with a drink. Branch does not want to talk about it anymore.
There was a lot of animals that were mixed together.
That's not important. What's important is that I won.
And Randall was there too.
So with not a lot going on, there's nobody kind of in the portal room. It seems kind of quiet. You all sort of like make your way back out through the palace. It's not really palace. The vibe of like the area that you walk through is more fortress than palace. It's not super luxurious. It's more kind of defended.
Sort of catacomb kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, especially this part that like has the zombie moat and everything, which is all shut down. But like even the like, you know, the like throne room chamber, it's more kind of like ominous than like luxurious. Wait.
No one's taking care of this. Hold on. Let everyone grab some planks. We're just going to take some planks and we're going to like makeshift a little, like we're just going to cover up that area. So it covers the zombie moat. So there's no chance of like accidentally like, whoop, you know, stepping your foot in the zombie moat. Like that. Just
I mean, there's a clear like 5 foot wide path to walk down the zombie moat. If you really wanted to like install safety measures, you're probably looking at railings more than like trying to cover up the whole moat. You don't know that there's zombies in there. It seems like it's quiet. You've walked up and down it a few times, but like the safety feature would definitely be like,
Zach,
don't fall in.
What is the D&D equivalent to OSHA? Like, I want to know. Managing.
It's probably still OSHA, but the initials stand for different things. Like
yeah,
ogre.
The O is ogre. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you make your way. Maybe some brief.
I'm going to come back and fix those railings. That seems like a violation waiting to happen.
A little bit of carpentry skill there, but you make your way through. It seems like a little bit extra quiet as you kind of like make your way through the layers of the fortress that usually have some kind of guards and stuff standing around. It is evening, and as you approach the kind of like outer gates, you start to hear noise, kind of like a lot of people, happy noises, kind of like party noises, party like vibe of like revelry sort of noises. It is a full moon. My thought process is like, what does that mean? I think that does not necessarily affect Sarsa. I don't know. You've probably been through like at least one, maybe two full moons as your like werewolf creature, but I don't think that actually triggers your like transformation. Maybe you can kind of like between being a werewolf and a devotee of Saloon, you like have a kind of an intense vibe under the full moon, but it doesn't like force you to change or like wolf out.
I think it's kind of like when you're on your period and like you're not always angry, but it's really easy to go to that place.
Yeah, anything can trigger it. So anyway, you get to the like outer gates. So anyway, you walk out into, like, through the last gate out into the kind of, like, town square area, and there is a party going on. Like, the whole town is turned out, and they are all, none of them are in human form. They are all were-creatures, and you're like, what is happening? You just look around. There's like music going on. A lot of the guards are standing around kind of like the outside rim. There's like a clear like presence of the town guards. But a lot of those guards are also were-creatures. They're like lions and just all sorts of different things. There's like a huge diversity of like everybody is a creature. Were-creature. Everyone's like infected. Right, humanoid. Yeah.
Don't get close to them. We might turn into creatures ourselves. Everyone back.
No, I think it is fine.
How do you know this?
I said I think it is fine. I do not know. But we have seen many of the were-people before.
But everyone being a were-creature seems a little bit suspicious to me. Sasa, you're one of those things. Why don't you go and talk to them and see what's going on, make sure it's safe.
Branch can go with you.
Those things now.
All right, because you can turn into a bear or a boar.
I don't really think it's quite the same thing, but sure, why not?
And Branch casts Alter Self on himself.
This is a new ability. Everybody's like leveled up to level 14, so there's some new abilities that may or may not come into the episode, so... Branches is that he can cast Alter Self at will, so what are you going to do?
I'm going to cast Alter Self on myself and change my appearance so that I'm still the same, like, basic size, but, like, I'm going to have my, change my face to look like, let's say a crow. I'm a were-crow. and, like, some feathers and stuff. I imagine I'll look more like an Aarakocra, or no,
Kenku?
Kinku, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A Kinku than anything else. But.
Zach, this is kind of meta, but now at my current level, I have access to the spell Feign Death. I'm going to take that for free. since I'm a possum.
Absolutely. I don't know why you didn't have that before.
I mean, I like kind of made it an ability, but now I'm just going to add it to my role.
For sure. Are you just mentioning that at this moment in case it comes up? You don't, like, apply that right now?
Yeah.
We're creatures. So, at that moment, Cletus comes up to you. She's holding a tray, and she is in her were-rat form. So, were-rat Cletus, you might not all recognize her. I don't know that you've seen that. Sarsa probably would. By smell, but she like comes up as Cletus and you kind of like recognize her voice, like, oh, hey y'all, how are you doing? Welcome to the Moonflower Festival. Y'all want some moonflower tea? And you all kind of like stare at her like, what is that?
Is there alcohol in that there tea?
Oh, well, of course you don't know what the Moonflower Festival is. Like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry, this is probably pretty confusing for you. There's this look right over there. And she kind of like points to kind of like a crack in the pavement off in the corner, kind of like up against one of the buildings. And there's a little kind of like shrub flower that has grown up out of one of the cracks. And it's like the flower of it. It looks like it's a white flower. And you've maybe kind of like passively noticed these, but they didn't look like this. Because in the evening like glow, the like flower itself is glowing in kind of a like a light purplish kind of iridescent, very magical looking glow. And she's like, those are the moonflowers. They only grow, they only bloom one night out of the whole year under the full moon. And if you you pick it and we make this tea out of it, and if you drink it, you can turn into whatever creature you want to turn into, or you can just sort of like clear your mind and see what happens. But that's the Moonflower Festival. Here it is. So welcome, y'all. And if you wanna partake, I got some tea here.
So we drink a tea made of a flower that blooms once a year for one day.
Yeah, only here in Cambion.
I think I've heard of something like this before. It's very rare.
Yeah.
Sarsa's already drinking the tea.
Oh, all right. There you go. Okay.
Well, why not? How long does it take to have effect?
It lasts just for the evening and happens pretty quickly, pretty much as soon as it hits your tum-tum. And, you don't get any, extra powers or anything. It's largely just cosmetic, but, we get to partake in this festival.
What animal we turn into.
Right. Well, that's the kind of thing. There's two types of people at the Moonflower Festival. If you want to be a certain kind of creature, you can take a drink and focus real hard on what you want to be and just imagine being that thing. And usually that's what you turn into. But if you'd rather just sort of like explore your unconscious mind, you just sort of like clear your mind, try not to think of anything and just sort of see what happens.
My dear, I have lived a long life and I do not want to take chances with accidentally becoming a quail person or some sort of rodent man. So I
all right, I feel like you just could have left that part out if you didn't want to cause offense, but go ahead.
I think it actually suits you quite well, but I just don't want to be that.
Sure, let's move on.
All right. Well, I'm willing to partake of your moonshine tea. What is it called?
Flower of the moon. Tea. Here you go.
All right. I'll wait for everybody else to get theirs.
So Sarsa was already drinking. Sarsa, what's your thought process as you kind of take a swig?
Bold of you to assume.
It is non-alcoholic. It tastes like, tea.
There was no thought process. She just, muscle reflex. So she's very much just along for the ride.
All right. Well, then what do you think would happen to Sarsa under those circumstances?
Oh, no. I think let's dig a little deep here in that ethos. Is it unlocking what you might be internally, or is it more like what you need to be in that moment? Is it more like insight based or prescriptive?
I don't know. I feel like it could be either depending on the person.
You're not helping me here, Zach.
I mean, flip a coin. I think you're trying to just clear your mind and let it happen and let it go, then is Sarsa more about
Sarsa
just like her internal state, or is it about what she needs to be?
Sarsa turns into a very large rotund cat, a big fat, and literally immediately just flops over onto her stomach.
You start eating lasagna. And...
Hey, why is it Monday?
Is it we turn into the actual animal, or is it more of an anthropomorph?
No, a humanoid version.
Oh, well then she's
a big furry.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is a very different kind of party than I was anticipating.
Nope.
Then she basically turns into a tabaxi, but an excessively furry, fluffy one.
Just a big old poof.
Yeah, big poof ball cat. There's nothing sleek or effective about this form.
My goodness, nice. Sasa. You've turned into a cat.
Does anybody else feel like they just want to lay down and take a nap? Because I could go for that right now.
Hey, it's the Moonflower Festival. You do what feels right to you. This is one night a year. So anybody else who's going? Oliver's got a drink there. Y'all, Tiburon, you want one? Where are we going here?
I guess I'll take one.
Once we turn into these were-creature forms, are there feats of skill or games and amusement that can be had that people compete in or just drinking the tea and then you sort of go about your way?
No, it's mostly hanging out and exploring a new side of yourself, and it doesn't change your abilities much. You can't breathe underwater if you turn into a turtle person or anything like that, so it's mostly cosmetic and just an opportunity to have some fun. And Sarsa, in your heading towards a nap state, you're kind of vaguely aware. I don't know if everybody or anybody else knows that Cletus is a were-rat, but you're kind of recognizing like what she's presenting is not actually true for her. What she is, it is the full moon and she is forced to be in were-rat form, but due to this festival and this like thing existing, this would be the one time of the whole year that she's actually able to be out in were-rat form and nobody's like freaking out about that because they just assume she drank the tea.
Sars is no snitch, so she just chill.
All right, well, Oliver's gonna drink. I don't know. I think Jeff, Randall raised a glass. I don't know about Branch and Tiburon.
I think Branch being already altering his self, I would just go, hey, Branch already had some?
Sure, all right. Where's Tiburon at?
Tiburon will drink it.
All right, so you all kind of like toast each other, take a swig. We'll go Oliver first. What happens to Oliver?
I am concentrating very hard on what I don't want to be.
Which is a quail.
I don't want to be a quail. I've hunted quails and I feel like I don't want to be any bird or a small woodland animal. I'm concentrating on like larger beasts, you know, like something regal with lots of a mane or like a, you know, big tusks or something like that.
Do you want to decide that, or do you want us to pick what happens to Oliver?
You can decide that, but I'm just kind of concentrating on like, please not a quail.
The opposite of a quail. Any thoughts? What does Oliver become? Everybody else?
A quail.
I mean, he said it. It's right there.
Like, it's like quail. Don't think of pink elephants.
A pheasant.
How about if I roll and I roll a one, then become a quail?
Yeah, go ahead and roll. It's maybe not. Yeah, so you'll be somewhere on the spectrum of what you want and what you don't want based on your roll.
Okay, what am I rolling? What is it?
It's the d20.
Just a d20. Okay. Okay. Oh, a natural 20.
Oh, dang. We're back to like, you get to be what you want to be. Big, powerful, big tusks. I think
you're that elephant, the Luxodon crew.
Turn into a Luxodon. Yeah, that one time. Sure.
That's great.
I could be an elephant, like a woolly mammoth kind of elephant.
I feel like it's maybe even a send up of like you're imagining various things. So you have like a lion's mane and also elephant tusks and just like the like various like masculine features, maybe like a rhinoceros horn also and like a lot of masculine features. But also you have a little quail like thing out of your forehead. Just it didn't quite go away, but like. All in all, you're like big, brawny, and tough looking.
I feel quite good. How do I look?
Big.
Oh, excellent. Usually us elves don't get to experience that sort of feeling, so this feels nice. Oh, Randall, it looks like you're changing from a possum to something else.
Randall, what happens to Randall?
Randall turns into a human.
Were-man.
Describe
where
he's kind of like it's kind of like a guy who's like kind of got like a really big bushy beard but also has like big ear, the like plugs in the ear type of thing, and like kind of like punk hair and like a Zach bunch of like but like the punk version of that, like has a vest with a bunch of patches on it. And like, you know, he's just like one of those big scary guys at like the punk concert. That's like, oh, you don't go in the mosh pit near that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, but he's like the really friendly punk, big.
Yeah,
punk,
but like if you went over to be like, hey man, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'll protect you.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't worry about it. Just stay with me. Yeah, he's like that. He's like that guy. He's like, hey, what's up?
Oh my. Randall, you're quite striking. There's a
as a were person.
A what? I don't understand.
Yes.
Well, where did all my beautiful hair go?
You have much hair on your head.
Oh, it's all smooth. Where's all the mats and knots in it? Oh, I don't like it. Oh, I do like all this metal attached to my face, though.
That is quite pleasing.
I've turned into some sort of hideous monster. Nobody look at me. This is disgusting.
All right.
Tiburon, what happens to Tiburon?
Well, there are 26 letters in the alphabet, so I have a D20 and a D6.
Nice.
And yeah, we're going to roll those, get a letter, and either you can pick something based off that letter, Zach, or you can allow me to do it.
Wow. Okay.
Q.
Let's see. All right. 7 + 2. That's 9.
A-B-C-D-E-F-G. I.
An iguana.
The letter I.
An ibis.
Mm.
You're an ichthyosaur. You're an ancient shark, which kind of goes with your whole Tiburon.
Mm.
I feel like we've already turned him into a shark briefly this season. Let's go with iguana.
Iguana. All right.
Like a lizard folk.
Bleh, I'm feeling terribly dry.
So, like, all of you are transformed now in one way or another, and you're sort of like out here in the festival, and like people are not, pretty much everybody is in transformed form. So like it kind of seems like the whole town is out in the square kind of like partaking in this festival, but you don't necessarily recognize who is who because they're all in transformed form. But
masquerade, paper faces on parade, masquerade.
Do we have those little masks on the stick?
Nope, just your mask is your face. Let's see, general perception check though.
Okay. My voice is my passport, verify me.
28.
Dang. Oh dang. So cluing into that Cletus is in her like natural were-rat form, Cletus actually was probably noticed that you were not in your wolf form. You're also realizing as you're kind of like processing like what's going on here. So that might have kind of like struck her in a particular way, recognizing that you don't actually even turn under the full moon. But kind of like surveying the crowd, you recognize that your were friends are out there. So you see Binky the Minky is out there cavorting in mink form. Gerald the wolf, the other kind of like wolf, is in wolf werewolf form. And Tim the were crane is also out there. He's got like a kind of a long crane neck. So you don't see him right away, but you can kind of see him back a ways because he's very tall in his were crane form. Jeff's full name for that was like something, 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 the 45th, but they call him Tim. So I can't reference his full name. And you would guess that Kent the were-ant is around, but your impression was that when he turns into a were-ant, he is like ant size. So like he would not be visible, spends most of his time trying not to get stepped on. But like they're all out in their actual natural forms.
I'm so bummed I missed that episode.
I forgot about Kent.
Guess what? We're going to revisit it a little bit.
Oh, Kent. So they're just kind of hanging around in the square, just having mm-hmm. time.
Just everybody's out there. Everybody's informed. So actually, like, you've met lots of other people and they're probably out here, but you don't know what those people look like. You only know from interacting with the where kind of support group that like, oh, that must be Tim. That must be Binky.
I think I would go hang out with Cletus.
Mm-hmm.
And just go talk to her.
So if you kind of like meet up with Cletus and kind of like pull her to the side a little bit, you have a chance to kind of talk about this and what it means to them and kind of like reflect on like, yeah, so you're not a wolf, I notice. So what you got going on is definitely something different. But this is you know, this is the Moonflower Festival, and this is a part of the reason there's a kind of an extra high population of werecreatures here in Cambion, because we have this one day a year where we can actually be our forms, and people aren't afraid of us. People don't try to run us out of town. We just get to be.
It's really fascinating and wonderful that you have this and you get to do it. And yeah, you're right. I don't know why it's so different for me. I don't know. I think it's more tied to my emotional state and how I'm doing there, rather than, you know, the cycles of the moon. It's just different. And truthfully, I'm feeling rather at peace. I mean, a little confused, you know, emotionally, but in general, I feel like I've gotten rid of a lot of the anger that I was holding on to there for a while.
You know, I can kind of read your vibe on that. You seem a lot calmer than you've been. What happened?
Well, you know, it's. I mean, there's still. It's a long story. Can we get a drink? Is there drinking at this thing?
I'm feeling a little bit of that tension come back right now that I asked you what happened, but like, you don't need to talk about it if you don't want to.
I'd prefer to talk about it over a pint, quite frankly, but you know, I mean, the same curse that made me a were-person, that wasn't all that what there was to it, you know? And there's this little voice. It's not really a little voice. There's a big voice that comes out and tells me that I'm going to destroy the thing that I love most. And,
yeah, yeah.
And, well, that's what got a little bit more complicated.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting. You got some clarity on that maybe or something?
I think some things have been put out in the open a little bit more, but it's also, you know, it's hard to be that vulnerable, and especially when you know that the more that you care about something, or I guess someone, that you're putting them in the line of danger, of fire. Especially when there's someone who, you know, is sometimes incredibly competent, and then at other times just not at all.
All right. Well, I hear that. Come on back. Come on back towards the unicorn. I'll get you a pint.
Perfect.
And so, like, the singing unicorn is like all the way on the other side of the square. So she kind of like leads you off through the crowd. Is there anything anybody else wants to do in this kind of like festival evening party going on?
I think Tiburon is going to keep a lookout and try and see if he can recognize any of the werefolk as the scribe from the scribe shop who's supposed to get him a scroll or whatnot.
Caraquil, yeah. Roll perception or investigation.
Okay, perception it will be. 23.
Nice. Yeah, so you kind of like hang back and scan the crowd. And, you know, you don't see Caraquil as Caraquil, but you kind of like, your attention is caught by a, like a rabbit kind of creature. And it's very much like skittish, like a rabbit being hunted, kind of like looking for predators, kind of like jumping around. And like, that's what kind of like, it kind of has the same mannerisms as Caraquil, and it looks kind of like it's wearing similar clothes as Caraquil wore. So, like, you have a pretty strong sense that, like, that's probably him right there.
Got it.
Oh, Tiburon, I'm going to find some of those meat pies that we partook in. Would you like me to grab you one?
Meat pies. It doesn't sound too appetizing right now.
What are you talking about? They're delicious.
not to my cold-blooded nature right now.
All right. Okay. You know, bugs, flies.
I mean, you're still you just grubs. Look like a lizard. All right, well, I'll bring you one if I see something that might have salmon in it. I don't know, what would you want?
Perhaps worms, that kind of protein.
All right, well, I'll see what they have.
Iguanas tend to eat bugs.
Right. Branch, you want to come with me?
Branch will go, yes.
All right. We're going to look for food.
There's a kind of booth set up, and there's a bear creature with a big apron on and kind of a chef's hat. And the sign says, Hugo's Hand Pies. And there he's doing kind of a relatively swift business, selling some hand pies at a low introductory rate.
Well, hello and well met, Mr. Hugo, is it?
Oh, hey, how you doing? You want some hand pies?
Yes, yes. You might recognize myself. I am Oliver Feymore, and this is my associate Branch. We are adventurers.
Oh yeah, I know Branch. How you doing? You looking good? Looking good. You you're a bird thing.
Yes, Branch is a crow.
All right. Well, you want a hand pie, crow? It's on the house for you, my good friends.
No fowl in that hand pie. It's strictly just beef.
This one is, yeah, I got some vegetable ones, and I got some, well, you probably don't want that third one yet.
Branch would take a vegetable one, and...
Do you have any with worms?
Or other kind of bug?
Or perhaps just solid dark greens?
I have not found a particular client base for worm flavored hand pies, but right. So no.
Might as well just we had to ask. We have a friend who's a lizard. All right, so we'll take.
Okay. Well, you get all kinds at the Moonflower Festival.
It's a little bit of everything. First time as a elephant tusked.
Yeah, what is your situation here? You got like a mane going on?
I'm just a safari enthusiast. I have all kinds of things. Right, so we'll take two meats and one vegetable.
All right, here you go.
Two vegetables, please.
All right. Okay, load you up. Here you go.
All right. When iguanas cannot eat bugs, they do like veggies.
Oh, this guy knows his nature rules.
Give him some coin.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your business.
Hello there, sir. I would like to purchase some regular hand pies for me, regular man, Michael man. And
oh, yes. This is our friend.
Michael, I don't know these people. I'm just a regular person.
I mean, sure.
I would like to buy one hand pie with food contents in it that's warm, please.
All right. Well, sure. We got vegetable, we got beef, and we got chicken.
Yes, I'll take that one.
You want this third one here?
I kind of lean in and yes, say, do you please. Have any that might have been lying around for a while, like last batch? I think you might like
that's
that.
Disgusting. I like fresh food made warm.
I leaned in.
That's what I like.
I like you. Y'all are doing your thing, and I appreciate that, especially on the Moonflower Festival. I don't have any old ones. These are all baked today. I could, like, drop it in the dirt or something if you want. But
that sounds disgusting to me, regular person Michael Mann.
That sounds disgusting for me as well, Michael Mann. Here you go. Yes. Here's a chicken one.
Oh, thank you. Oops, I seem to have forgotten my wallet. Could I get you next time?
I will pay for his... I don't know this person, but I will spot you, kind sir, Mr. Man. Fine. Even though we've never met, I'm sure you can pay me back next time.
Oh, geez, friend. Thank you. And he's going to take his hand and, like, awkwardly kind of put it on your shoulder.
What is happening? Like, what? This is not how we greet each other.
No, we're...
You can just put your hand out in the air, and I will grab it.
Like this?
What? No, we're not sawing. How much? There's no sawing involved.
How much pinching do I do?
Stop pinching me!
Very good. Sir, do you have silvered ware for eating this?
Well, it's a hand pie, so you usually hold it in your hand and eat it. Like a pie, this kind of thing.
Like disgusting. Man. Won't I get germs and dirt into my mouth, which must be clean at all times?
Well, we wrap it up in this little paper thing, and so you can kind of like you usually hold the paper, normal person as I'm sure you are, and you sort of eat it. Don't eat the paper; you just eat the pie, and then you kind of clean your hands off like this.
That just sounds very messy.
All right. Well, there's a big line behind you, so you do okay, you, and I'm going to move on here.
And Randall's going to go and sit down and find like another pair of silverware and like sit up and like put like a napkin in his shirt and like try to like hold a fork and knife,
try
and
to be
like,
a real
eat
boy
the hand pie, like very awkwardly,
little bites,
dropping it.
Yes, this is very delicious for me.
Oliver, did we know him? Was that that woman looked familiar?
You know, I thought I did, but I'm coming to question everything tonight. let's go over and see if we can find something to drink.
We should introduce that woman to Randall.
Cut back to, so Tiburon kind of like ambles up to this person you think is Caraquil and kind of, there's not a good way to do this because you kind of like wait for him to recognize you and then you realize I'm an iguana person, so that's not going to work necessarily. Mm-hmm, so you kind of just have to go up and present yourself.
Oh, I'll present.
If you want him to recognize you, or you could just like approach him as anonymous iguana person, up to you.
I think I'm a try and sneak up on them and then very close to their big rabbit ears, just whisper, Caraquil.
He literally jumps like probably 5 feet up out of the ground and lands back on the feet. Okay, this is Tiburon.
It's me, your old buddy Tiburon.
You look great. Welcome. Happy Moonflower. How are you?
I've had less scaly days. Don't you have something for me, though? Or do you want me to go get my friend? And Tiburon points over at, assuming we were Randall, yeah, but it's just a guy.
Awkwardly
sitting straight up and like trying to use
a awkwardly knife. Balancing a like bite-sized piece of a meat pie on the end of a knife and trying to get that out.
Getting increasingly frustrated.
Okay. Well, yes, So my contact actually is here in town and wants to meet up with you and has the scrying spell prepared, but was very intrigued by your story and he's in a sort of a cart right outside of town. I can take you there whenever you're ready.
How do I know this isn't a setup?
I mean, I guess you don't, but you asked, and I've gone to substantial amount of work and resources, and I reached out for you, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to please you people. He gets kind of twitchy as a rabbit. His, like, nose is moving real fast. Mm-hmm. His little whiskers are, like, flapping back and forth.
All right. Settle down. Just wanted to make you sweat a little.
Well, good job. You do that.
Yeah. All right. We'll sneak away.
There are a lot of cockroaches in town, by the way. Do you know anything about that?
No, I have no. Couldn't possibly opine on that one. But if you see one around, please tell me because I'd like to snack on one.
This one, look, just one right there, and he points back to the same moonflower that was pointed out to you by Cletus. And there's like two or three cockroaches that are actually like picking this moonflower and like moving off with it. You can kind of see the glow of the moonflower kind of like move down the kind of like line of the building where a cockroach would keep to as they're like making off with it.
That's ominous. Banana.
Do they wear something when they eat the flower?
They don't seem to have eaten it yet, so it's unclear, but unsettling to even consider the option. They'd have to make the brew the tea, presumably. Don't know, but anything's possible. All right, well, he requested to see your whole group. He said he might have some additional information that you'd be interested in, and so I can take you there when you're ready.
All right, let me go wrangle them all. Tiburon takes off.
Let's check back in with Sarsa real quick. So Cletus is taking you back to the singing unicorn, and there's a little table out there where kind of like another employee is selling pints. So she grabs you one of those and you have a drink, and along the way you at least kind of like you pass Gerald, the other wolf. I was like, oh, hey, Sarsa, how you doing? You're looking not like you're...
Right, yeah. My whole thing kind of operates under different rules. And well, yeah, apparently, when I took the moonflower tea, I turned into a wee chunky cat. So, you know, let's all move on from that, shall we?
What's right. Well, like, what do you think that's... like, did you want to turn into a cat, or like, did you just kind of like let it happen? Like, which way did you go with that?
I listen, I don't exactly plan things, all right? I tend to just act and things happen, right. And usually it kind of works out. So that's where we're at, man.
You
got to
go with the flow.
I'll be honest, okay. It's kind of nice. I don't think I've ever felt quite so soft in my life.
You do look very soft. It works for you.
And I kind of just want to take a nap. But I think before I do that, I'd like to have a pint. Cletus and I just had kind of a bit of a heart-to-heart. And I've been talking about my feelings a lot more than I normally do. And I think I would like to turn the volume down on that with a little bit of whiskey, as it were.
So, all right. Well, you don't let me get in the way. You happy moonflower. Yeah. You go get your drink on. So you sort of like chat with him a little bit on the way and head out and grab a pint with Cletus, and just sort of like, she kind of gives you your space to just sort of crowd watch a little bit and take it in and sip on whatever you're sipping on. Just kind of chill.
It's literally a pint of whiskey. Like, this is, I don't know why.
That's probably not what they were offering in the table, but she'll go inside and get you a traditional Sarsa pint of whiskey to bring out to you.
Why are we still having this conversation, Zach? Like,
Cletus is a little concerned every time she sort of serves you one, but she's like, all right, that's fine. Not the typical order. It's mostly just ale going out. Ale and a little bit of brown water going out the front booth.
Nope, not tonight. Regular clear water for me. refreshing. I like how it has no flavors.
Tiveron, you're able to kind of like make your way through the crowd, pick up human Michael Mann and the like very masculine beast creature eating a ham pie and a little crow branch, and probably last you kind of catch up to Sarsa over at the singing unicorn and kind of gather everybody up.
All right, so we gotta meet this mysterious stranger, right? And he's gonna give me a scroll, but he also wants to meet all of us. I don't know exactly why, but I'm sure he's got his reasons.
finishing the meat bite. Do you think we should try to change back, like make ourselves more presentable? So we don't look like animals. No offense, Randall.
None taken.
Is there some sunflower tea we could drink, or?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if we need to make a contact, it might be important to look like ourselves, so that he knows who we're dealing with.
But listen, it's a whole festival. We don't want to be drawing more attention to ourselves. So if we're the only people walking around that aren't animals, then I think that's a bigger red flag target on your back than.
You're saying we should go in with a bit of surprise.
Right.
Good idea.
She does kind of eyeball Randall warily. Human person form.
He's sitting with very good posture. Being superhuman.
All right, let's go.
So you kind of like make eye contact with Caraquil and bring him over, and he leads you out to kind of the edge of town, a little bit into the forest, where there is a wagon there, kind of like a little sort of circus wagon kind of thing. It looks like it's got a door and wheels and not really windows. It doesn't have anything like written on it or anything, but it has that kind of sense of performer or something, kind of traveling wares, that sort of thing. There's a wooden door on it and kind of like some steps down to the wooden door on the back door. And there he is. And I'll leave you be. He has what you want, and just go ahead and knock on the door, and that's it. Bye.
Well, hold on a minute. What? Where are you trying to go?
I was just going to go back to the festival. Like, you deserve privacy, and this is... I've done my job here.
Now this starts feeling real suspicious if you're not around to see it.
Fine, I can wait here. Fine, I'll stay here. Just knock on the door. I've made the connection.
All right. Tiburon goes up, looks back at everyone just to make sure everyone's, like, ready, and then quickly knocks
at the ready
on the door.
So you knock on the door, and it, like, creaks slowly open, and it's dark in there, and you hear a voice say, "Come in! All of you, come in! Welcome! Come on in!" It's not a huge space, or it shouldn't be a huge space, but, like, that voice sounded kind of, like, big and kind of far away.
All right. I'm headed in.
What should we do?
Tiburon goes right in.
Tiburon, do you want our assistance?
Tiburon is already in. Walked on in iguana form.
I'll go with you, Tiburon. In we go.
Michael Mann, the human man, heads on in after Tiburon.
Sarsa follows the human man.
Sarsa, the large sleepy cat.
Oliver will go in as well.
Oliver, the...
Safari quail.
Safari quail heads on in.
Rhino, lion.
Branch will also follow.
No, Caracol's like out there now, like, did you want me to... I'm just going to wait here, if that's okay. The door kind of creaks shut. And so all of you have entered this wagon, and you are in a space that is, like, way larger than a wagon. It is circular. It is stone. It is nighttime. It was nighttime when you left. It's nighttime here. But there's, like, various windows, and it looks like you can't see much because it's dark, but, like, it looks like you only see sky out each of the windows, and there's kind of like one corner where there's like a looks like a curved set of stairs going down. There's nothing that goes up. This little door that you walked through, like, looks like the other side of the door of the wagon, but it's like it's in the wall of this space that you've entered. And there's like a very wizardly looking guy with kind of like dark hair, beard, goatee, beard, mustache, kind of bushy eyebrows, wearing a big purple cloak, and just like a lot of stuff around, like laboratory stuff, items, sort of things in jars, just like, you know, it looks like it's a very wizardy looking place in this thing. And it also is like not a wagon. He says, "Oh, welcome very much. I've heard so much about you. Come on in, make yourself at home. Come in. Can I get you a drink?"
Yes, please. Yes.
We just ate something, so I think we're fine. How do you know Caraquil?
Oh, well, we're old friends and contacts. He is a good man, not too gifted in the magical arts, and he's sort of like putting something together at his kind of like laboratory table with various liquids and things of different colors that kind of like smoke and bubble. And he's a good man and knows his scrolls and scribery, but is not too talented in the magical arts, not like me. And he kind of like makes a gesture with his hands, and it like poofs, and here's, "Here you are, young lady." And hands a drink to Sarsa.
Sarsa kind of like eyes it a little bit warily. She kind of sniffs it.
It smells delicious.
And she drinks.
And you have an amazing sense come over you. It just like washes through your body and your whole person. And you're like, it like feels good, but kind of distressing to you. And he's like, "Oh, that's my own recipe, a potion of sobriety. Completely erases all effects of alcohol in one's body immediately. It's quite remarkable."
Sarsa looks broken. She just looks and just like done. she can't even make sound, but her like mouth is just like mouthing, why
you've allowed her to reach a state she only reaches maybe once a year.
Branch has never seen her like this ever.
Can we take one of those to go? I think
oh yes, well, the first one's free, but I can make more if you like.
For sure. Well, that's very impressive. Tiburon, why are we here?
The Scroll of Scrying.
Ah, yes,
the scrying. I understand. Caragul told me a bit about your situation. You would like your missing friend, yes? You'd like to find him? What were the details of this missing person you're trying to locate? The more details we have, the more successful a scrying spell could be.
Sarsa kind of stops pouting for a second, and she like licks her little paw and kind of puts it around her ear, and she says, "But he was tiny little feller. He's half-lane, half orc, and a lovely disposition." A name
would be helpful. Do you just have a name?
Gravely.
Gravely. All right. Last name.
I don't remember his last name.
None of you knows his last name.
He worked from Dreadex.
Gravely from Dreadex. All right, well, work with that. He's sort of like taking some notes.
Kind of judgy.
Oh my god, I genuinely don't.
It's okay, Jen. I never gave Gravely's last name.
Chris has one, and there's a couple of times where he've like dropped the opportunity to like for someone to ask him, and we never have. So Gravely has like, Chris has lore on Gravely that we've never really like pursued.
Are we all bad friends? I feel like Maya would know, but Sarsa definitely wouldn't.
All right, well, Gravely worked for Dreadex, all right. Small orkling fellow, all right. So, well, and what happened to him? How did he go missing?
He turned into fog and went into the mountain.
Yes, we were in a big fight, and a smoke fog guy took him because of dice.
Interesting.
Well, just one die.
I wasn't there, actually, but I was in a similar situation where a loved one was taken, also in a fog sort of abduction, and it's quite harrowing, you see. Mine happened over 1,000 years ago, but this was apparently something very similar. So if you could find a way for them to find the little friend, the grave stalker,
Lee, Gravely. They just told me the name, and I can remember it.
Terrible with names, sorry.
All right, well, I don't know him, but all of you do, so that should be enough. Let's see what we can do here. I don't have a scroll, but I've brought the laboratory to you, so to speak. So, if you can surround, so he sort of like gestures down. There's like a metal perfect circle built into the floor, so if you can surround the summoning circle here, I believe I can activate the scrying spell, and perhaps we can get a glimpse of where your friend is, if he is in fact somewhere on this plane. And just a moment here, everyone, if you could focus on your friend, if you'd like to hold hands or whatever strikes your fancy, that might help.
Is that absolutely necessary?
Well, no, not strictly. I don't think so, but, you know, it might help.
What a shame. I do love holding hands and using my mouth to be on somebody else's mouth, like all humans do.
Oliver holds out his hand for Mr. Man. Grab it like this, but not too tight.
Branch hands whoever's next to him a wing.
Tiburon takes that wing.
He kind of whispers to Branch, "What did Gravely look like? I don't..."
He is small and green, and he has the teeth that stick out.
Tusks, like these?
No, smaller.
Oh, okay.
And right. They go up, and he is about my height, and he is a tiny orc.
Doesn't seem very manly, but all right, I trust you.
He is a man. That is how he identifies.
Oh, okay.
So the scrying spell, you can see and hear a particular creature you choose that is on the same plane of existence as you. So it's only going to work if Gravely is on the same plane of existence. Target must make a wisdom saving throw, which is modified by how well you know the target and the sort of physical connection you have to it. If the target knows you're casting the spell, it can fail the saving throw voluntarily if you want to be observed. So this is where kind of like your understanding of him, if it's just secondhand knowledge, it's a harder save than if you have a picture, if you know how he looks. So you all know pretty well, you don't have a body part or lock of hair or bit of nail or the like, which is the best connection, unless anybody has some gravely leavings. Probably not. That would be weird.
Wait.
Oh no!
I feel like if anyone would, Randall would.
Let me check my bag.
Yeah, what didn't when he was like a wooden person, didn't something like
take some wood shavings?
No, I'm sorry, I have nothing.
Alright, well, it should be fine. Everyone concentrate, and here we are. And and he hits the circle and it lights up. The whole circle lights up with a beam of light that looks very much like a moonbeam, which you recognize most recently. The moonbeam you saw was what Oliver's. So Oliver will connect to this. It looks like the moonbeam that you all kind of like rescued Keelani from. But Gravely is in it. He's levitating kind of in there the same way she was. And he looks unconscious.
Is that him?
Yes, that is Gravely.
That's Gravely.
Gravely!
Like he's in the same place that the same kind of holding beam that Keelani was in so long ago.
Can he hear us? Hello, Gravely.
I don't think it works like that, Fred.
Branch is the crow. I know that it does not. I do not look like normal Branch.
Yeah. If he could see you, he would be very confused, but he looks to be not
all these animals looking in.
Yeah.
Ether.
And one guy he doesn't recognize. Yeah. Yeah, he looks to be not coherent, not like conscious, just kind of like floating there, and so he's probably not able to perceive you. You could hear and see him, but he's not making any noise. He looks non-responsive.
Do we see anything else? Any objects, furniture, landmarks, anything? Is it outside, inside? Anything?
So the wizard says, like, all right, let me see if I can adjust the resolution, camera angles here. And you kind of like, he actually like touches the
camera angles, like a Nest cam. Like,
he touches the like, ring and kind of like slides his hand around it, and it like shifts the view around more to like Gravely's perspective, basically. So now you're like looking out from his like vantage point. You're looking out into, it's dark, but it's a very big chamber, and it looks like he's up on like a big pile of like gravel or rocks or something. But this chamber is like very large, very dark. Looks like kind of like maybe a big cave or something. Everybody roll a perception.
Dirty 20.
Oh.
27.
Dang.
13 for Branch.
Dirty 20 as well.
24.
Not observant.
That's some amazing perception. Chris, what's your perception bonus?
+9.
Dang.
Same.
Nice. So you all perceive a lot. So you're all kind of like looking out of this and kind of like recognizing it. And Branch gets nothing, but everybody else is like, that's not gravel. That's gold.
Oh.
Then the connection gets like severed. And the wizard kind of goes like, ah! Oh!
What happened?
Something cut me off. There's something. Someone interfered with the connection.
It looked like he was on some sort of hoard of gold.
Yeah, it looked like rocks to me.
A glorious trash pile of keeping.
Well, if I know piles of gold, there's few animals that might keep that sort of thing, and one of them might be some sort of a dragon.
Some sort of Cambionatrix.
Well, possibly. Yeah. I mean, that's just one dragon that we happen to have heard of recently, but
seems like a pretty big coincidence.
Yes, but we don't know if he was taken into some sort of a dragon horde. It could be any dragon. There's loads of dragons. And that dragon hasn't been seen for thousands of years, even the person said so.
A fly goes past Tiburon at that moment, and like without even thinking, his tongue goes.
Tasty.
Well, I mean, it sort of helps, but doesn't
help us know exactly where he is, but
we do know he's on this plane.
And we know he's alive.
And we know he's something. Alive.
But just like Kilani, if you're this wizard that was trying to siphon energy, when he regains his strength, he will use your friend to pull the energy from his life and come back to power. We have to stop him and rescue your friend before that happens.
Well,
sometimes it can take weeks, it can take days. I don't know how long we have.
It's all very well and good, but we have to find where they are before we can run in and rescue him.
Mr.
Abracor.
Abracor?
Abracor, yes.
My name is Oliver Faymore. I'm not actually a giant tusked maned elephant person.
Did you do have a unique appearance? I was going to, it must be the Moonflower Festival, the famous Cambion Moonflower Festival then, yes?
Yes, yes. All of us are members of an adventuring group. Do you know anyone that might be able to, I mean, we know generally where he is, but anyone that would have information about this, what was the name of that evil wizard that you all fought?
Mal'Gadoth.
Mal'Gadoth. Do you know anyone that in your network that might know any information about hiding spots, vacation homes?
Well, let's see.
Summer getaways.
Favorite vacation rentals by owner?
Well, I do have some contacts, and
you do.
The sort of people that might know some of the sort of people you're talking about, but actually also the spell you described, the fog and this moonbeam, and I've heard of that before, and I don't know much about it, but I might know someone who could tell you more.
Where is this person? We I think we all agree that we should probably find out as much as we can about spell. We got lucky the first time, but if we knew more about how to rescue him and find him, then I think that would be the best course of action. Where is this person we can talk to?
Even if they're far away, we could ride a horse to them.
Right, because that's what humans do. Yes, that's yes, of course. Thank you.
Riding other animals.
Well, they are fairly far away. They're in the realm of Elderlock. Not sure if you've been there before.
That's across the sea.
Well, yes, it is. It's quite a journey, but
well, let's say that we can get there. Where would we find this? And what's their name?
The person to talk to is the innkeeper at a small inn called the Fiend's Folly in Elderlock. It's a well-known Fiend's place. Folly. Yes, and
he's the innkeeper. What is his name?
Just ask for the innkeeper.
The innkeeper.
The one who keeps the inn, that would be...
And what is his name?
He
is the innkeeper named...
Here's what happened. It's one of those things where I think he told me his name initially, then I forgot right away,
and
right?
And now you just see him and you're and like, then we've
had an ongoing relationship, and I'm always hoping somebody else says his name, but right. Nobody does, and I can't ask him now, and we're far too into it, so it's the innkeeper at Fiend's Folly. Elderlock,
we won't out you, that's fine.
I had that happen with a co-worker once.
Exactly, yes. I think we've all been there.
Abracor, you see, the secret is, Abracor, you have to use the name three times, Abracor. I learned that from the Dale Carnegie course that I took, because I'm a regular human man.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the tips, human man.
Randall got turned into, like, everyone's dad. Like, it's like taking your dad to a party.
Yeah.
Just being chill, fitting in with the young folks.
So, Coors Light, huh?
I actually have, you could do me a bit of a favor, and I could reward you to it. Do either of you have use for a magical shield? And he sort of gestures to a, like, shield that's sitting in the corner. Quite the part of shield weavers.
Branch uses a shield when Branch is not a bear.
I can use a shield, but not as in my monk abilities. But
all right, you don't seem too enthusiastic. How about a magical ring?
Oh, yes, rings are great.
Rings are nice.
Okay, well,
hold on. Let me, and he like picks up the big shield and walks over to, he like opens the door on a little kind of like cabinet thing and like sets the shield inside and closes the cabinet and pushes some buttons. And it makes a noise kind of like a microwave, like a ding. And he opens it up and now there's a ring in there. Like, here we go. This should be a lot more portable and doesn't take up a hand space. And so this ring, it will add to your armor class just as a shield would, but also it will absorb a spell cast on you such that you may be able to cast that spell back. Yes, cool. Huh?
Oh, very nice.
Quite useful.
Yeah, that is very nice, yes.
I don't need that.
Well, good. You don't have that. And he kind of like flourishes and it goes away out of his hand. Just kind of like basic sleight of hand things. What do you need to do?
He doesn't speak for all of us.
Well, here's what I need you to do. If you could take this crate over here, and he's kind of like gestures to another part of the room. And there's like a 5x5 wooden crate and it has like a rope tied around it. If you could just drop this off with my friend, the innkeeper. And when you come back, I can deliver this ring to you. Also, it would be great if you could figure out what his name is. That would really, I would appreciate that extra. Maybe a little bonus.
It seems a bit large for us to take all the way across the sea, even if we did manage to somehow get there very quickly, but...
Oh, yes, it is very large and very heavy, but watch. And he kind of like, he goes over to it and grabs the rope on the top a little bit, and the whole thing like levitates, almost like a balloon. Rope of levitation. You can keep that, actually, as a little bonus. If you get the name right, you can keep the rope of levitation. When you're done with it, come back to me. I will give you the ring.
Hey, I'd like to inspect that ring, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Here you go. And then he's like, whoop, nope. As he, like, reach for it, he, like, makes it disappear again. Makes it disappear. Nope, you're going to have to come back for the ring later.
What's in the crate?
What's in the box?
The crate is not to be opened. It's like 5x5 and about 5, like 3 feet tall. It's not exactly square.
Sealed?
Yeah. None of your business. You leave the crate where it is. Take it to the innkeeper at the Fiend's Folly in Elderlock, and the rest will be... Things will work out.
What do you think, Chips?
Randall says, I don't know. A ring like that, I think, without proving the properties and doing all the proper research on it, I don't think it's actually very valuable at all. In fact, it looks pretty regular. And he's going to cast Distort Value on the wizard. He casts it on the
objects.
Wow,
that's the first time I've ever heard distort value used.
I'm using it, baby. Come on, here we go.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yep.
So he's going to cast it on the object and he goes, hey, take another look there, chief. I think you need to take a look.
Other man.
I don't know that it's really that valuable. Maybe you need to throw in another item for us to do this job.
We're trying to gain his trust, Randall.
I don't know any Randall here. It's just me, Michael Mann.
I'm reading about distort value.
Isn't there a save or something? Like
it's anyone examining the object can ascertain its true value with a successful investigation check against your spell save DC. What is your spell save DC?
15, baby.
Michael, human man.
15. Unless he has dispel magic.
Come on. Whose team are you on? Let someone in the history of D&D use distort value.
He rolled a what would that be, probably with a wizard,
historically low intelligence on a wizard.
Well, I rolled with
historically low.
I rolled with advantage because you are in his lair and he's probably got some like stuff set up, and so I rolled a 2 and a 20. And so I'm thinking his role as a like advanced wizard is probably like a 29 or something. So
yeah,
he just looks at it and is like, kind of like looks at his eyes and like points at you like, I know what you're up to. This is quite a valuable ring and will be well worth your time if you deliver it. The true value to you is the information this innkeeper might give you about that spell. This is merely a bonus for me. It's a help for you to deliver my crate here.
Very well. We'll deliver it.
That seems very fair. Don't pay any attention to our regular human man that's trying to mess with everything. We will take your crate and be back. We'll find out the information. We'll be back for the ring in a couple of days, I guess.
Very well. I appreciate it, and pleasure
to make your acquaintance. Thank you, Albacore. I appreciate it.
Mm.
Yes. Dolly Fant, present pleasure to meet you as well. And you head on out. You go out through this like small wagon-shaped door. You're kind of recognizing, kind of like glancing around your surroundings. Like, I think we're in like the top floor of a tower. But this like wagon-shaped door is like on one of the outer walls, and you like open the door, and it like goes right out into.
I don't think this crate is going to fit through.
What the? Pops right through, and you walk out into the forest at the other outside of this wagon again. And it's again, it's dark in there, and you hear Abercore's voice kind of call out, like, "Thank you, good luck, enjoy Elderlock, try the fruit pies, famous Elderlock fruit pies. This is very good.
Fruit pies?
Yes, pies and fruit. It's like a meat pie, but with fruit. Anyway, I have to go. Thank you."
Door closes. Sounds very good.
Isn't that just a pie?
It's a meat pie, but with fruit instead of meat. What craziness! All right, seems like a quite a simple mission. I am quite tired, but I guess I don't know when you want to go on this this adventure.
Well, you know, there's a bit of a festival going on, and I feel like we could all probably benefit from a rest before we hit the road here.
Right, so let's go back to our quarters. We'll get a night's rest. We'll keep the crate safe overnight, and then we'll head out to the transport room. Maybe we can talk to Bartlesmith and get a transport to Elderlock.
Sounds like a plan.
I hope that we will be changed back to our normal form by the morning.
I certainly am exhausted. I will definitely change into my pajama clothes to go to bed in a bed with sheets on.
Right.
That sounds comfortable and normal.
And we will call it right there.